Good evening, everybody. It is just me for the moment. I think everyone is still stuck in traffic on the way back from King's Lynn. Well, I mean, we'll get into that in a bit, and Mike and Bruce and the rest of the team will join us. So in the meantime, while I am drowning, please feel free to throw any comments and thoughts into it, because I went to none of the games. But what games they were, we've what? Accumulated 34 points out of 45, 6 points over the weekend. We are accumulating more points than Gary Neville's driving license. It is worth every minute of your time tonight. We will talk to everybody who went. And if you've been as well, please throw your comments and ideas in. We'll have a chat about it. And what a place to start. Obviously, for those of you still traveling on the way back from King's Lynn and, you know, have yet to come in and join us, it'll be great to get your thoughts. All the thoughts I've had so far is that nobody could see a goddamn thing. So that's going to be great to listen to. McAtee's injury, we'll get into that as well. But we'll first start with Stockport County and the win there. It'll be great to have some thoughts on that. Rob says, no silly big curse of a flag and two wins. Who knew? I mean, it's got one win, one draw and two losses. That's promotion form, is it not? I don't know. It's a lovely flag, though. But it is starting to show signs of age already. We've lost two ringlets in its campaign to make sure we accumulate as many points as ever. We can't win the league after Stockport's win, says John Lewis. I know this was by friend of the podcast, Jim Barwick, put out there. Unfortunately, we will no longer be able to catch up with Stockport. We will, you know, need a miracle, some sort of points deduction. Should they deserve it after that brutal attack by Sarovic? Is it just a condemnation of a team that is led by a sociopath? We will have to find out. Ollie Hodson says, we need a pole on your flag and extend it by about 100 foot. I mean, those flags that Stockport fans had look pretty good. Maybe we should get a couple of them if anybody's in for it. Mark said, Manny hasn't done himself any favours today if he's after a contract. It'd be good to get your thoughts. I really like the look of Desiruve throughout the games that he's come into, but listening on radio, he didn't sound like he was having an absolute worldie. So it'd be good to get your thoughts in. Was it the pitch? Was it just how it was? Richard Fox is saying Amos was his man of the match. I'm hearing Smith as well was fantastic. It'd be good to get your ideas in. I didn't know which it would be. Amos has always been a decent performer throughout and has really impressed me this season. And I'm finally joined by someone else who can give me a breath. Mike, how are you?
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm drowning, but it's all right. It's all right. Let's have a quick look. I'm going to change the background because it's a bit rubbish. The problem is when we do that little snazzy countdown, it kind of limits us to doing it then.
Yeah, I was just literally getting in to do it, mate. And then the fire alarm went off in my building. So, like, typical, innit?
I need to grab a beer. I'm not sure if I don't know if Jack, Will and Dox and the rest of the team really want a man who looks relatively homeless drinking beer to advertise their product. But, you know,
what do you mean relatively homeless?
Yeah, relatively homeless. Yeah, well, I've still got this. It's just a facade. But, you know, I do look homeless. Cheers. Oh, my God. Let's have a quick look through it, because neither of us went to any of the games. So we can really, really help you.
Yeah, a lot of good we're going to be.
Take you through all of it. Kyle says, by the sounds of the radio, Manny had about six off the line. It'd be good to get your thoughts on it, because I'll be honest, I don't know what you thought, Mike, when he's come in. I've quite liked Manny. He's come as an impact sub. I would not want him leading the line, and that might well be the problem and the issue we have.
Yeah, he strikes me that sort of player that, you know, he's going to come off the bench and maybe grab you something. Whether he's more suited to leading a line for 90 minutes and being a focal point, I don't know. But he seems to, every time he comes in, he does something, does well, grabs a goal. But yeah, probably that 90 minutes leading a line is probably where he's lacking.
Yeah, he's a decent impact guy, and he's really someone that you'd want in there. But it is a worry, isn't it? We'll have to have a look at it and what's going to be going on. Hurst didn't look massively worried, and the fact that they don't know it's necessarily dislocated would suggest it's popped right back in, or not dislocated at all.
He's from South Yorkshire, like me. We don't show any emotion, whether it's good or bad.
We don't show emotion.
That's typical Hurst. He probably knows full well what's wrong with that, mate.
Yeah, true. Ian is here, but he is not showing his face. So I'm slightly worried what's going on there.
What is he showing?
Ollie Hodson says, Scannell looked class when he came on. That's great. I'd love to know what you thought of Max Wright and how you guys thought of that when you came in. Ian's saying he's got low signal. Ian, hello.
Hello.
You're looking well, mate.
Cheers, mate. It's an improvement, let's be honest. I'll be honest.
Considering you haven't been on the show a lot, maybe your family will start wondering that we're just sort of, this is just cobbled together by a series of recorded captions from your voice. And as such, you don't actually exist and have been lost for the last 4 months.
I mean, they would probably prefer that as well, let's be honest.
Anthony Holligan says, can you see the screen as well then, Ian? Or you can you not
no,
see
No, I can
anything?
See you. I can see you, folks.
Good stuff. Anthony said the back four were all decent. I won't describe anyone else indecent in any way or damning. And John Lewis says, from what I've seen, Manny has looked tasty. Might be an off day like the rest of the team, according to the radio. Wright looked good, but was limping around towards the end. Don't tell me that, Ollie. Oh, God. Please don't tell me that. I was very much looking forward to seeing him. I mean, Bruce is going to come on in a few minutes. He's only just walked in the door. But before then, Ian is... Oh, here he is. Bruce and Ian, you guys were at the show yesterday. You were at Blunder Park for the domination over the supposed lead leaders at Stockport County. clearly, money can't buy you anything. It certainly can't buy you 3 points against the Mariners. Was it as dominating as I'm suggesting? Was it an easy ride?
Absolutely, 100% not.
Oh, that fuck's sake.
Game completely hinges on the red card for me. For the first, however long it was, roughly half an hour, Stockport were far above and beyond us, in my opinion. They looked like they were dangerous every time going forwards, and we panicked continuously. We kept lumping the ball forwards and hoping for the best. That first 20 to 30 minutes of the game, we could not get a foothold in midfield whatsoever. Jones and Holohan consistently, either not with their men or when we were trying to get the ball down, playing poor passes. And yeah, it completely turns on that red card for me, that game.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. Not me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Bruce.
I can hear you.
It's just you, Alex, then. As I say, I completely agree with Ian. It was we got absolutely schooled for half an hour. And then after the sending off, we weren't a great deal better, Ian, before half time, really, were we? I didn't think with 10v11.
No, definitely not. Even then, it took us until half time to reset. And to be fair, just before the goal, from a good bit of play from Taylor when it finally went into his feet, the 5 minutes beforehand, we had three chances to try and build an attack, and we fired them all out of play between Jones, Holohan, and McAtee. We fired the ball out of play on three occasions just before that goal. It needed two things. I thought we was a little bit flat as crowd, but then I think that we were also struggling being able to see how badly we were being outdone by Stockport, which does put you on a bit of a downer. So it needed the red card, and then it needed the goal afterwards to get the crowd up and going and onside, basically.
Yeah, and then the second half, we had a few sort of half chances, didn't we? And then we just seemed to sort of score the goals. And we've sort of said for a while that we don't score sort of normal goals. We just seemed to sort of score a couple of sort of, you know, one was a sort of one-on-one that we finished. It just sort of a guy broke clear. And the second one was a corner routine that they'd be disappointed with, given Waterfall that header at the back to head it back across. But we didn't create loads and loads of chances. We created a few. They were a very good side. And I think having seen nearly all the teams here now this season, I would say they and Solihull are the best two that we've seen. Although we didn't see Wrexham at their in their pomp, if you like, as they seem to be now.
Right. Can you hear me? Am I all good? Perfect. I mean, Challoner did sort of allude to taking Quigley off as maybe an issue. Was that as pivotal as the red card? A lot of people have said that on the boards and stuff, but it'd be great to get your idea. And also, Stockport fans sounded fantastic on the radio. I mean, was that the same? And I saw enough of the Blunder Park to suggest it was at least gently swaying, maybe not rocking.
Quigley obviously made an impact. He was causing a lot of problems. I mean, obviously, he scored the goal. There was the one when he got in behind Waterfall from a poor pass from Holohan. I guess that's, if Challoner's seeing it that way, he'll know his team better. So if he thinks that he's probably admitting to having made a mistake there, let's be honest. If he's chosen to take Quigley off to bring somebody else on.
I thought his conscience was clear.
Blundell Park was okay. We've probably lost a little bit of that early season momentum where every stand was going in and joining the chant. But we've said before that the pontoon has issues for helping to generate noise around the pitch because of the way the stand's built and laid out. That doesn't help. So I'm not blaming the fans necessarily for it. It just means we have to put a bit more effort in to make ourselves heard across.
I think at some point we should actually do something about atmosphere, because Paul Hurst actually mentioned it today, as did John Tonda, that it was a bit quiet and a bit nervous, and I saw some Kings Lynn fans deriding it as well, and it's been a general bugbear of mine, but maybe it's worth having, maybe not a podcast, but get as many people on and talk about it and try and find a solution, because I know Tom would say it's an organic thing, but it's sort of a bit of one or the other, isn't it? Like, they both help one another, do they not? Maybe I'm just.
I think today. Obviously, we'll come on to in a bit.
Yeah, of course.
But again, it was very similar to what you've said before about the makeup of the stands. But yeah, we'll come on to that in a bit. But yeah, I thought the Stockport game. I just thought it was just nice to see them go down to 10 men when Challoner should have been sent off all those years ago. What goes around comes around, I say.
20 years in the making was that karma retribution.
I don't give a shit what he thought. It was a red card, and like I say, that's one for you, Dave.
Let's be honest, I mean, Stockport fans are seething. It's the only way to describe it. They are seething. Let's take them one by one, because Bruce, Ian, you were the only ones there. Me, Mike and ourselves have had just the same view. The Waterfall challenge with the poor back pass, penalty or no penalty. I think Bruce and Ian, you sit in a relatively similar position, so I'm not sure if we'll get any differing views here.
Yeah, well, I was in the upper finders towards the pontoon end. I thought on first viewing it was a penalty.
And Bruce, how about you? You got the lower down view of that.
I didn't even see the tackle. I couldn't see the other end of the pitch from where I sit.
So it wasn't a penalty.
I've seen the replay. I've seen the replay, and he might have got the ball, but he went through the man to get it. I would have probably been. I think we'd have been screaming for a penalty, Si, if Si's just put no pen, got the ball. I think we'd have been screaming these days. For a penalty, because there was some contact with the man as well, but it had to be. It was a desperate tackle, because I can't remember what led up to it, but there was a mistake that led up to it, a poor touch or something.
It was somebody. Yeah, Holohan tried to play it back towards Waterfall and played it short, and Quigley got on the end of it first.
So can I also ask about that then? I don't know if you guys have looked at the goal that we conceded, which was, firstly, it was onside. It was a really well worked piece of play by Stockport, but Waterfall was really pulled out of position and was the wrong side of Quigley, who I assume he was meant to be on, simply down to the fact that he was trying to direct Holohan to where he needed to be. I'm not sure if anyone's seen that on the footage, and that's sort of why Quigley ended up goal side of him. So maybe there's something there. Maybe those two just haven't clicked yet, and it's harsh to expect them to be on same wavelength was in, what, 5-6 games that Holohan's been here?
Yeah, he might not have clicked yet. I mean, I must admit, I was looking at the first half an hour of that game, we were so poor in midfield. And I that was my, unfortunately, my first viewing of Holohan. And if you'd seen him based on that half an hour, he wouldn't. You'd have been crying for him not to be signed. He improved and got into the game. But certainly between him and Jones, we just were not on it in that first half an hour whatsoever. So it wouldn't surprise me. I haven't seen the thing you're talking about with Waterfall, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was coming out and berating people to improve, shall we say.
Well, he's not had a lot of football, has he, Hulahan, as far as I know? Might be a reason why. It might be why he wasn't in the team today.
I certainly think we miss him already, Bruce. I don't know about you, but I'm finding he's brilliant to have around the team. You've seen more of him than most, I'd guess.
Yeah, I think he looks like a class player. I think he looks good. I think the whole team struggled in that first sort of 40 minutes on Friday. They were very good and we were very poor, and it probably made for the most one-sided half that I've seen against us this season, even during our sort of poor spell. It's a heavy touch, isn't it?
It's a great challenge. What are you moaning about? Great challenge.
Nothing but ball.
Yeah, I think we'd have been shouting for that. I don't know either way. I think it's one of them where you get some and you don't, and we got the benefit, and that's and tough luck to Dave Challoner again.
Fairness, the linesman's right in line with that. So,
yeah, they never get anything wrong, do they?
But here you go. This is the lead to goal. Look, so there's Waterfall. Quigley's off to the shoulder, like I'm fucking Alan Shearer or fucking Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher. So what you see, I can't do a
stop it
action.
There.
Can we get some lines, Alex?
Yeah. Do you want some lines? Yeah. But look, he's pointing at Holland. Go to him. Go to him. And he's already sort of lost a good couple of yards on Quigley. And then he's the wrong side of him the whole time. It's just quite odd. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then where the ball's coming in, Quigley's got all the time in the world. And considering Waterfall's been absolutely magnificent for us. By the way, no disputing. He's definitely onside. Like when that ball is touched off by this guy. He's miles on. So there's no sort of complaints there. I don't know. It's just surprising. But there you go. There's my breakdown. There. That's right, Kyle. There. If I stop it there.
Yeah, and if we had Tom on, he'd want to know why you've gone to all that trouble for a goal against us rather than one that we'd scored. You've not broken down the brilliance of the Taylor McAtee link up, have you?
I mean, we can do that as well. I'm happy to. I mean, he's conspicuous by his absence now that we can no longer win the league, obviously.
Has anyone checked on him?
Yeah. But, Ian, what were your other thought process? And I might have missed this when I was having a bit of a technical snafu. Is this a red card or not?
Yeah, it was a red. First viewing, I thought it was a red because it's a straight leg. Looks like it comes down on a Fete's ankle. Okay. For me, it's a straight red.
You've probably got one of the better views in the house, actually, because you're probably in line with it. And what about you, Bruce? You can probably get a better angle as well from low down. What were your thoughts?
You can tell the severity of the tackle because he didn't roll around. He just went down and in a heap. He didn't do 15 rolls and end up off the pitch. I think the player's reaction, I couldn't see closely, obviously, but the player's reaction said a lot. And there weren't a lot of complaints from him, whether that when he came to go off.
That was
a stat from Danny Amos, though. Having when the ref had just sent off one of their players was very silly. I was mighty hacked off when he did that. He gave the ref a decision to make, and he didn't need to. I agree, it's only a yellow, but in the heat of the moment, the ref could easily have given him a red card and leveled things up. I thought that was a really silly tackle to do. Like I say, you look where the tackle was. He didn't need to make that, and not that late either.
It's one of these ones as well, isn't it? Where
to be fair, sorry, Bruce and Alex, I've been told by people who were sitting in the main stand today that they actually thought he got the ball. That the ball goes into the stand off from Amos's tackle rather than anything else, and it shouldn't have even been a yellow.
Let's rewind it then.
Didn't Challoner make a big thing about the about our players surrounding the ref?
I mean, I don't think he gets the ball there.
Because you've got about four of them charging in there.
There's just but look where the guy is. He's going out towards the touchline. There's no need to make that tackle like that. I mean, no. He was magnificent today again, but he's done really well. But they just, like I say, 5 minutes after they'd had a red card, that just was silly to me. But anyway.
But one of the things that was mentioned by somebody was that one of the things, Danny Amos is up here. Obviously, actually, no, this is one of their shots. Where are we? Where's this foul? Come on. Danny Amos is all the way over here. And people are saying that he won this. He's up here in the top corner. Look at him running. That's a good 45 yards.
Do you remember Mourinho when he was on the Spurs bench? Yeah.
And another thing. Well, as long as Saravich's conscience is clear, obviously, it doesn't really matter. And let's do what Tom wants to do. Let's do a pathetic Jamie Carragher reenactment of the goal, which was, let's face it, absolutely beautiful. It start. Wow, look at that for skimming on YouTube. It starts there. So that's pretty incredible. Lovely bit of play. And already you can see, look, if we stop it, this is really good for audio, isn't it? Like those who are watching this listening to this on the podcast will love it. Look, there's McAtee already pointing. I want it there. Look, pointing again. You can't do that at the moment. And then off he goes. I look at that, sending him the wrong way. Wonderful stuff. Please, somebody help me out here.
For those listening on podcast, it's going to be like when Slade did that fans forum on Humberside and spent 20 minutes doing a PowerPoint.
Alex, you lose faith. Alex, yeah. You lose faith.
It's 32 slides of why Nathan Clark was a better addition than having Sean Pearson.
We're now starting to gear the podcast towards the 20 people that watch on YouTube and not the several hundred that listen.
There are currently 56 people watching this. You've got nothing better to do than
I've got a big, family. I've got a big family. What can I say?
It's just all on the equipment over here. Is there anything else you guys would like to say about the domination of Stockport County?
Yeah, it was for Martin Pringle again.
For Martin Pringle, yeah. Yeah, well, I can understand Stockport County fans. Like, our friends over at the Scarf, whoever, no one cares about your players, Wes, we're getting mighty annoyed because, you know, we hadn't moved on. But it's the first time we've really had him here. So it was well needed. I was there that day. It was a poor challenge. And then here you go. Here's your another goal from the set piece. Are we working on these now? Are we getting better at them? Can Henry and Tom not be as worried about it?
I thought today's delivery was poor.
Oh dear.
I seem to remember from the when I saw that on the match day moments, you can see from behind Waterfall, and Waterfall sells that defender a pup. It goes like he's gonna go into the middle of the box. Just stops and retreats, and the defender keeps going. You miss it here, but he's given himself all sorts of space to put that back in.
Wonderful, isn't it? And I'll be honest, our set pieces don't seem to have adapted more than put it on Waterfall's head. And when you've got a head like Waterfall's, why would you bother doing anything different?
I mean, I'll be honest, as an opposition team, you've got to be crazy to let Luke Waterfall have a header in the box because we get so many of our goals through him in the box. So it's criminal to leave him sort of unmarked in the box, to be fair.
We nearly did that again today, the back post. He put it back across, but I think somebody intercepted it.
So you guys, Bruce, Ian, you guys that were there, you've got a couple more moments to make any additions you want to do about Stockport. It wasn't a win I was expecting. Anybody who's watching, is there anything we haven't mentioned from Stockport that you'd like us to do so? We would be happy to mention it now. But I thought it was you get a bit of rub of the green, but you've got to put them away.
It was nice that there were over 6,000 home. It was nice that there were over 6,000 home fans there as well. To see us win, at half time, like I say, it looked like, you know, I seriously thought they might hang on with 10 men the way we were playing. We came out and took it to them a little bit more, and maybe the substitution of Quigley made a difference when they went one up top. It just gave Mullen a, Madden. It just gave Madden a real game. He was just chasing shadows really in the second half. And yeah, I think like Ian said, or somebody said earlier, to be fair, their fans were magnificent and they sang all game. But I think given the following of 1,400, going for however many games unbeaten it was, I think we'd have been the same.
Top of the league, yeah.
Top of the league, we'd have been the same. I don't think they... It was really good. They were brilliant and they made for a very good atmosphere. But I think that we or Wrexham or maybe one or two other teams in the league would have probably been very similar.
Yeah, I don't think... No club has that special je ne sais quoi, do they, really? Mike?
No, I was just going to say, I think it's very easy to get drawn into the, oh, it was against 10 men. But, I mean, how often do we see in football? You've got to actually go and win the game. So I think the second half performance deserves a bit of credit going out there and turning the 1-0 around, because we've seen so many times before something that just doesn't happen.
Well, it took Palace 87 minutes to break us down, didn't it, the other year?
I think one thing that game did show in the second half was exactly how we need to utilise Taylor, though. And I know that we've obviously got through, well, best part of the season now with it. But the goal for McAtee and then the chance that came a few minutes later for McAtee, both came from getting the ball in low into Taylor and allowing him to flick it on somebody. It's egging it up a little bit, but it was a little bit Kane and Son-esque with playing it into Taylor's feet and him being clever. Because the problem in the first half, genuinely, was everything was pumped up to him and he was not going to win anything against their two centre-halves whatsoever.
He needs a defeat, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. If we can get the ball down and play it into feet, there's a good chance there for us, because we're going to need to be clinical should we make the playoffs. We're going to need to really, really hit our straps. Those two with that link-up is going to be absolutely vital for it.
I think if we're going to talk about the fact that we need to be clinical, you should kick me off this before we get talk about today's game, Alex.
Well, I want to hear it. It sounds like a Weymouth repeat, and we will do in a second. McAtee without Taylor is nothing. Well, not nothing, but you get my gist, says John Lewis. Maybe, John Lewis, we need to bring your namesake back. Maybe that's what we need to do now. We're in a strike. We might have a striker deficit. Is he going to be the man to be the solution? Can you imagine? FA Cup final, National League final against Wrexham. John Lewis puts it away. You never know. It could happen.
You've been playing FIFA again, haven't you, Alex?
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. Blundell Park. They say Goodison Park is the old lady of English football as a stadium. Is Blundell Park the same, as in they are slowly shrinking? Because Blundell Park's capacity is getting smaller and smaller by the day. And are we slightly worried that within 2 years, the capacity is going to be 14? Because how is that the capacity of Blundell Park?
We could rent it to Scunthorpe.
I mean, they wouldn't even be able to fill a 14 capacity stadium. And we will go on and we will do mention our lovely friends up the road who are joining this league, whether we're here or not. Ian, what's going on? Why have they got massive pieces of tarpaulin over the front of the Osmond? Why did we not sell off the 400 extra tickets that we could have, you know, got a bit more cash in the coffers?
Well, I don't know if that's a security thing. It's something that happens a lot, isn't it, when you have big followings. You tend to see them put sections of tarpaulin over the front to stop fans sitting right in those front couple of rows. There is also a section of the main stand at the moment as well, which is blocked off. And I believe that that's been mentioned before. Is that something to do with COVID? There's two blocks there that are sectioned off just behind the dugouts. But the thing is, it's something I've been chatting about on the way home with some friends from Kings Lynn. As much as Blundell Park will always be a massive part of us in its current guise, whether we move or it needs some form of renovation, it is too small for the aspirations that we have.
Well, I mean, let's do a podcast on the atmosphere and Blundell Park. We need to talk about Blundell Park, because I am probably of the same thought as you, is it, Ian? I would imagine our friend from Portsmouth, Mr. Tom, would suggest we are wrong. But 7,800 is a very small stadium for a town of our size, I would say. and doesn't leave us much to be able to play with in terms of commercial opportunities. The safety officer says they can't sell the front seats. Well, then why do we have them? And why have they been sold before? And why are the pontoon ones sold? What's the difference? All up for discussion.
Apparently, they've had problems with pitch encroachment, and like we have in the past. I think we had the same at Notts County. I think there were a few, the front, I don't know whether they were covered, but certainly where we were, the front few rows of seats weren't used or weren't sold. And so a few of us just ended up stood at the front for the second half, and it was very similar for them on Saturday. I think as well that there would have been an increased cost in if they'd have sold those front seats. And whether it was viable after that, maybe not. But
it'd be interesting. It'd be good to get an answer, because it's a shame if not. We can make some money. We can do. Right. Well, I think we'll stop that there with Stockport. All in all, jolly good day. 3 points. I wasn't expecting them. I don't think anybody else was. And one of the only team not to for Stockport to have beaten so far this season, which is, well, in the league anyway. And after a brief transition, we'll come back and talk about tonight, where I think Bruce is itching to talk about it. It's just a really good editing point, lads. That's why it's all fancy. Bruce, Kings Lynn. Ian, did you go?
I did.
Oh, man. We got two of you. From where you could see, if you could see anything, what was it like? Easy win? It sounded like we peppered their goal. What was the general thoughts on it?
I could see. We were in there from 1 o'clock, so we were right down at the front. So we were fine. I went to where Henry...
Hang on. That's a bit nerdy. 1 o'clock? Come on, anybody who's watching this, 1 o'clock, that's nerdy to get into the ground then.
I was in the pub at 1 o'clock with Hannah and Henry and Gareth.
I'm glad that they stayed there and left me drowning for the first part of this podcast.
Hey, I didn't get an invite to the podcast meeting in the pub that apparently went on.
Well, I mean, you've been kicked out of the WhatsApp group. Take the hint.
Two, I went and saw where Henry and Alex were stood. Henry and Gareth, sorry, were stood. And trust me, I'm glad I got there early, because they weren't seeing any of that game from halfway onwards. However, it didn't
look amazing.
It was terrible. The fact that they've managed to get away with charging £21 for people to be able to see half or less of a pitch is absolutely ridiculous. And the fact as well, the disabled seating is at the back of that stand. Nobody in the disabled seating was able to see any of that game whatsoever.
That's disgusting. Because, I mean, we've been to, let's face it, there are a lot of shitholes in this league. What makes that place so bad? Was it the technical term, the rake? Was the rake too shallow?
If that's the technical term, I think there were only three steps for the whole...
There's my porch.
...section, yeah. It was a deep stand, but in terms of the additional height that went on, there was just not enough steps in place to give people any height. Really, what they should be looking to do, if they are going to look to accommodate big followings, is probably go and give, the away fans the side of the stand as well. Because that was not a good view for the vast majority of people there today. In terms of the game itself, we were much better than them for most of the game. But we definitely did what we did most of the season, which is just lack a bit of a clinical edge. In the last 15, 20 minutes, it felt like we were going to edge towards a 1-1, because there were so many chances that we passed up. And it just felt like there was going to be a sucker punch coming. But they were, Kings Lynn were decent-ish for a while, but they were just dead on their feet by the end. Absolutely dead on their feet.
Is there a problem? If McAtee is out for a dislocated shoulder, and they say the worst that you could... Gary Croft said he was out for 3 weeks, and the maximum is 16 weeks. So we saw on... me and Mike were straight on the NHS website checking it out.
Everybody becomes doctors, don't they, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. 16 weeks, it says, for a recovery time. If that's the case, are we looking at a big problem? Taylor, for all his wonderful flicks, isn't a goal scorer. He's scored far too few this season, hasn't he? Or am I wrong in terms of what he's got? And is Armani and Tristan, the guys that are going to help us, are we fucked, essentially, is the question.
I think we'll struggle if that's our forward line without McAtee. His body language at the end, he got it sort of strapped up in a long sleeve training top, sort of converted into a sling. I could be miles wrong, but he didn't have the look of a man who thought his season was over.
Ah, Bruce says he's back on Saturday.
Talky at home. No, he just didn't look. He just didn't have the look of a man that was whose season had ended. And there were children near me. There were adults with children near me who didn't even see any of the game. They were just looking at legs because there was nowhere that they could get them where they could get a view. It was disgusting. £21 for that shit. And I went and spoke to a steward and he just said, oh yeah, they'll have to do something about that, won't they? It just like walked off. It was poor. They could have given up that they had a whole end that was empty just about, and they had half of the side stand, and they could easily have shoved their youth club further down the stand, including the lad in the pink pig outfit. And given us more room. We had loads of people that couldn't see. I couldn't see a thing in the second half apart from the top of our goal.
Bruce has just started a rumour that Kings then are going to sign Kevin Van Veen, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Is that a Ginger Pig reference? The only man that would not struggle to see anything at Kings Lynn, Jack Spring, is here. And being the professional director he is, he's got his camera in portrait mode.
Oh, let's change that early door, shall we?
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. I had a great time. I could see everything.
You're the only one that could.
He was stood outside the ground, Alex. He didn't even go in.
It was crap, wasn't it? I've literally just got back. I'm sunstroke because they ran out of water after 6 minutes. I'm exhausted because there's no bloody motorways near the ground. I can't hold the club to that. But it was fucking awful. I mean, just as a fan experience. I mean, the design of the away end, like you've got like, so we'll start off for those that weren't there. Imagine a normal terrace. So you've maybe got 5 meters of that, maybe kind of like 5 or 6 step things. And then behind that, so towards the back fence, you've got another 5 meters of just flat ground. So that's where I was because I could, you know, I'm a lofty gentleman, but no fucker else could see anything. And then in front of that, so towards the pitch, you've got a kind of like a ground level walkway, and then in front of it, you've got another thing that kind of goes up a yard. I've never seen anything like it. And it was just crap. It was a crap away day. The atmosphere was shit, but I can understand why I could see a bloody thing. The football was all right. It was kind of similar to Weymouth where, you know, we should have scored 85. And if we had Podge, we would have won 24-0. But we kind of got away with it this week.
Are you saying, Jack, what we really need is we needed some sort of propagandists at the front telling the fans behind them that what was happening was a continued onslaught of attack to try and gee up the crowd?
I did provide an audio description to about 400 people.
I just got this image of you with like 400 kids on your shoulders, like some sort of Chinese acrobatic team.
I did do some communal good. There was a beach ball and an inflatable penis going round. It had been bounced up and down the fans, and the beach ball kept going behind the stand. And I was the fella tall enough to shout at the police and the stewards to give our ball back, which brought back good memories of childhood. But that's my kind of social deed done for the next decade or so, I reckon.
Look, we're going to... Stephen is already telling us off for being negative. So what we're going to do is we've had a little bit of a rant about how shit the ground is and we will not have to go back there next year. But Chris Ballard has come on from the Talkie podcast, Talking Talkie, to have a chat with us about the game on Saturday. We're going to use him as a palate cleanser. He's going to be our, you know... what's the shit that is ice? What's the...
Slush?
No, not slush.
Ginger.
No, the sorbet. He's going to be our sorbet. We're so fucking working class. Like slushy.
What's the slush puppies.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us. This is the most we've ever had on. This looks like freaking CNN. How's everything with you over in the States?
Very good, although I don't think I've ever been called a palate cleanser before.
I mean...
So I guess I can check that off my bingo now.
How is everything going down there on the South Coast?
It's going pretty well, except for the fact that the first 10 games of the season were shocking. If we had had even an average start to the season, we'd be very much in the playoff shakeup. We had a very disappointing draw with Eastleigh, which anything with Eastleigh is always going to have the word disappointing in it, because it's a hole and their team is terrible. But I think that's probably put paid to our playoff chances. We were in tremendous form and have been since just before the new year. But drawing against Eastleigh is probably done for us.
What was the problem at the start of the season? Obviously, you guys finished exceptionally well the season before. Was it a reset? Did you lose a number of guys?
Yeah, the main reason was the playoff didn't finish till June 21st. And we had a genuinely heartbreaking day at Ashton Gate, losing on penalties to Hartlepool. And then we only had 5 weeks to get ready for the new season. We lost several players, some who left because they got better money, which I think is understandable for any player, certainly in this division. A couple of them, we weren't happy in the way they left, especially since they went to teams in the National League. Our goalkeeper, who scored in the playoff final and was a hero, got his move to Port Vale. You think, fair enough, have a crack at League Two. But a couple of others, including the now captain at Notts County, was not quite so ambitious. And that left a bad taste in the mouth. So we were left with 5 weeks to source almost a full squad. And the players that we brought in, half of them have turned out to be okay. A couple of them have turned out to be really good. A couple of them are awful and probably won't ever play for the club again, despite perhaps being given a 2-year contract. So a good example, we signed a goalkeeper, Halstead. I can't remember where he came from, but he has been a League One substitute goalkeeper for several seasons. First three games of the year, it was obvious he didn't have a clue what he was fucking doing. And that kind of lack of confidence then goes throughout the rest of the defence. And we struggled. I mean, first game we lost 3-1 at home to Altrincham. Then we got a good point on the road. That's such an American thing to say, isn't it? Sorry. A good point away at Notts County. Then got hammered at home by Woking, of all people. So it was pretty apparent early on that we weren't going to be challenging in the same way we did last season. It just took Johnson some time to figure out the wheat from the chaff. Since, like I said, that first 10 games, we've had form as good as anybody in the league. I think coming in this season, we were thinking that a lot of the big money teams, you know, Chesterfield, Notts County, Wrexham and Stockport would be the ones who were up there. And none of them have beaten us yet. You know, we played 7 games. I think we won 2 of them and drawn the rest. So the team is good enough to compete. The problem has been, and I know lower league fans always say this, it's the crappy teams you struggle against. So we've lost once in 13 games, but 3 of those games were draws against Barnet, against Wealdstone, and against, I've forgotten the other one, Boreham Wood.
Oh.
And Eastleigh today. So it's a classic case of promising much, but not quite living up to it. I think at the beginning of the season, we'd have been happy with a playoff push and then building for next season. But like any team in this division, you're having players out of contract in the summer and looking at a pretty hefty rebuild job again.
Our looks towards the playoffs now sort of over, sort of the realists going?
I think so. I think mathematically we're still in it, right? If we win our remaining half a dozen games, we have a chance, but we play you guys at Blundell Park. We have to go to Stockport and we're at home to Chesterfield. So, I mean, we beat Stockport at home, so we have a chance, but I don't think it's realistic to get us into the playoffs. What's going to happen is we're going to go on a really good run and still finish eighth, which I think some of the more pessimistic of us, myself included, have said since January. But given where we started, that's a very good performance. I think we'll lose three or four players. We have a guy called Armani Little, who's been probably the best central midfielder in the division. I think this season he's scored 13 or 14 goals. He's had 15.
What's his name
again? Armani Little.
Armani.
Yeah. I know. I don't know what his parents were doing, naming him that, but.
It's certainly checking cashing checks. He can't cash with a name like Armani.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be pretty good, don't you? Now we signed him from Woking in our National League South season. He was playing for Woking, and he was the best player we played against. And actually, it was kind of nice that Torquay got to be Billy Big Bollocks and take him away. And then he got injured. The curtailed season in 1920, he was hurt, and then he was in and out of the side for most of last season, only coming in for the last 10 or so games. But this year he had a good preseason and he's been fantastic the whole way through, which is interesting because he actually got booed in one of the early games. He scored twice and people were booing him in a home game. And you kind of see the guy like, what the hell are you doing? He was the only guy who was performing well. And I think what a lot of people liked about him was that he was never afraid of getting the ball. Sometimes the cross would be too deep. His corners that tend to be shambolic.
He sounds like a Hurst player already.
But he scored some fantastic goals. I mean, we beat Notts County 5-1 last week, and he scored two incredible goals. I think you should definitely take those out. And the other guy in the game scored a hat-trick, Conor Lemon-Havens, another guy who's probably out of contract in the summer, who I'm sure teams in divisions above will be looking at, thinking about bringing in. So for next season, it could be starting again, starting all over again. Although Gary Johnson's a fantastic manager, I'd rather have nobody else in charge. I think he's, obviously I'm going to say this, but I think he's by some margin the best manager in this division. I don't think anybody else would have got the results he's got since he came in. When he joined us, we were 14th in the National League South, and we won that division by something like 10 points. So, he's done it all at this level as well. And I think he's hanging on, hoping that he can get one more promotion before retiring. I think he's 67 now. So he might be.
How is he only 67?
He's been around forever, right?
He's at least 95.
He's been 67 for 30 years.
Yeah. When he was at Woking, you thought, oh, that guy's had a rough life. Not Woking, Yeovil. That guy's had a rough life. I fear for us if he does decide to move in the summer. I don't think he will. The ownership is opaque, shall we say. We're owned by a guy called Clark Osborne, who has a history of asset stripping. When he came in, he made it very clear the intention was to get the freehold to the ground, redevelop, and then find us a stadium somewhere else. All of which sounds great if he's ever built a ground somewhere else, and he never has. He's just promised to. I don't know if you guys have been to Torquay, but there's not a lot of land lying around. There's not a lot of space for us to put a different stadium. And you're looking at 15 million quid to build a half decent one, which he doesn't want to put in. So I think we're hoping that he just sticks around because he falls in love with the club. But also we owe him 4 million quid, which probably is a good reason for him to hang around.
4 million.
Yeah. His name's not John, is it?
No, it's Clark.
He never had that money.
He's been, he has, by all accounts, he's actually put money into the club, but people of his ilk don't tend to do it unless they expect to pay off at the end. It's not like we've had owners in the past who've done it through altruistic means. We had a lottery winner until 6-7 years ago, and that's different. But you have a so-called businessman coming in, and you do start to look at the china thinking, how much of this are we going to be able to keep? Because this guy's going to sell it all if he can. It's been quite.
Is he not a fan then?
No, he's not. He's not a fan of the club.
Bloody hell.
Scunthorpe fans watching this hiding behind a sofa.
He bought a couple of speedway circuits, I think, in Poole and Swindon, and then never rebuilt them. He had some association with Bristol Rovers for a while. And the loans, I think, are technically interest free, but they're not free. I mean, we still need to give that money back at some point.
Has he called them benign loans yet, as Ollie Hodgson's asked?
Not as far as I'm aware, no. I'm assuming that's a, a Grimsby reference that I don't
spot bingo.
our owner, our former owner, held the club to ransom for about $1.5 million. And as you say, it's not a loan, but it's a nice little sort of weight around the club's neck. Should anyone want to buy it, prospective buyer would have to at some point pay off. It's not a gift. He wants that money back at some point.
Right. And I mean, I don't kind of get into conversation about what you want owners to be. I don't have an issue with an owner making a bit of money out of the club if it's done in a viable and sustainable way. You could argue that if we have aspirations of being higher than League Two at any time in the future, then we will need a new ground. Playmore is 90 years old and it looks it in parts. We have a new side, which is very nice, but actually the pop side, the terrace, was half closed today because some of it broke during the Notts County game because of the people bouncing on it. So we had to rope a section of it off. So I think we will need a new ground. And again, clubs at this level, and you've seen it if you've traveled a lot this season, the teams with 3G pitches are the ones who seem to have the money because they're making extra funds during the week. Whereas obviously you're not renting Playmore out. You're not having any conferences there. You're not having any music shows there. So you're making money only on those 23 games a season that you have the team in town.
But do you want a fifth division game having to be halted because the Beavers have got the pitch booked at 10?
Well, no, but it would be it would be nice if we had some money coming in when the team wasn't playing. You know, it's a big space. If you've got, I think, you know, Bromley did it, Sutton did it until last season. Obviously, they had to relay their turf. They were making money that could then support the side. We don't have an academy because we're in the National League, and you've seen, you know, the red and white bastards up the road, Exeter, have a fantastic academy. Most of the guys they seem to be selling on are actually from Torquay in most cases. So, you know, Ollie Watkins was from Torquay. At the time, we didn't have an academy, so we went to Exeter. And they sell him for Brentford, and then they get a 25% signing on fee when he buggers off to Villa. So there is the ability in the area, but we've never been able to make the most out of it. And to do that, you have to be in the league. And I think that's probably more important than the football side.
Bruce, is this making you nervous? Ollie Hodson has just said it sounds like the podcast 3-4 years ago. There are some quite big reflections on town there, isn't there?
I think I think when we listen to this and we listen to the Stockport guy that we had on last week, it just is very worrying that of how the future can look, because if you're down here for too long and you don't get out, then you think you're a league club, but in reality, you've got no academy. You know, you've not got the young players coming through. You're just signing journeymen season after season. And the league's hard enough to get out as it is. And who's gonna invest in this, you know, at this level? And, you know, like you were saying about your owners got no affiliation to the club. It's just worrying, isn't it? And we get this every time we get people on from other pods. It's scary, the amount of people that are involved that you're doubting their reasons for being involved.
How fucking lucky are we?
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, the league is... Having only two spaces going up, it's terrible for anybody who comes down. You know, Wrexham have been here 10 years now, although I would not be surprised if they won the playoffs. Sorry, guys. Stockport have been down here for a while, and you've got other teams. You know, we've been down and up. Stockport were in the National League North not that long ago, and they got lucky with owners who had the money. Same thing with Wrexham. But there are plenty of owners in this division who are absolutely terrible. The guy at Kings Lynn, I can never remember his name. That guy's an asshole. I don't know if you've ever run into him.
Well, our local comedian has, after he was bad-mouthing the ticket allegation of 21 quid for yesterday's game, where no one could see anything.
They charged 20 quid last year for the stream.
Oh, really?
Because we had streaming last year, which I live a long way away. And that was perfect because I could watch the team, but obviously you can do it this season. But King's Lynn charged 20 quid and it wasn't even a good stream. I mean, pay it because when you're going to get to watch King's Lynn. But yeah, I think a lot of the owners in this division are hoping for some cup run. I mean, we've seen with Boreham, their cup run has probably ruined their season. But I would imagine they took in enough money to run the team for 4 years. And that's what, you know, the economics at this level.
Yeah. What are you thinking of for Saturday and for the rest of the season then? Is it, I sound quietly confident, I guess.
I think we'll get a point. I think a point's not enough for us. One thing I will say is that we'll come and we'll try and win. We're not one of these teams that are going to come in and try and defend for 90 minutes, which I imagine you've seen fairly frequently this season. Yeah.
Stockport did the same.
Yeah. They actually did it against us and they got beaten last minute, which was tremendous.
Yeah. They take it really well.
They have a very level-headed reaction to bad news. Same thing with Wrexham. Whenever Wrexham get beat, it's always very nice to watch them on Twitter because they're like, it's okay, lads, these things happen. There's no overreaction at all. There's absolutely over. Notts County are the worst, though. And I've been watching them a lot more than I normally do because I've decided I hate them. we beat them in the playoff semi-final last year. They didn't like that. Then they took two of our players and we didn't like that. And then we've taken 4 points of them and they're not fans of that either. So, yeah, I think we'll get a point. We're not going to make the playoffs. I think we'll probably end up finishing eighth. And I think we'll just fall short. If we get a win against you guys, then that's a little bit more interesting. But Notts County's remaining games are, on paper, pretty easy. They have to play Dover twice. I mean, how does that happen? Oh, I know how it happens. They go down to Dover and it gets called off 10 minutes before the start, which was also entertaining in a way. So, yeah, I just want us to have, once it's mathematically not possible for us to make the playoffs, then we should be playing our reserve team or our not starting 11 players to see if they can do something for us next year. I would assume behind the scenes there were already conversations about contracts for next year. We'll offer contracts to Joe Lewis and to Armand Little and to Connor Lemon-Havens. I don't expect any of them to stay at this point. Joe Lewis has been tremendous since he joined. He was on loan and then we signed him from Swansea. He was in the Swansea side or the Swansea squad. And he's been excellent. He's only 23. He has a mistake in him, but he's going to be a very good defender, League One standard. And again, you'll see this is something that is in this level. You have to let people go. No one's on 3 or 4 year contracts anymore, unless you're Wrexham, apparently. And people that you always have a high turnover of players year on year. At least this season, we'll have more time to figure it out rather than 5 weeks. Yeah. Four of which I spent crying.
I think it'll be interesting to see on Saturday, like you say, whether your players come with a genuine belief that this is their last chance saloon or whether they think, you know, or whether the draw that you've picked up today, you know, looks like a nail in the coffin for the playoff hopes. Because just looking at the table, like you say, you've got a game in hand. You're 9 points behind us in sixth and 7 points behind. But the problem is that looking at the form, the table that I'm looking at shows the last five games. And for the top seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there are 6 defeats in total in the last five games.
Yeah.
The top sides, there are 2 defeats in the top four in the last in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 games, effectively.
Yeah. I mean, I think, first off, Gary Johnson won't allow his players to do anything but go for the win. We've seen him before. He will absolutely call people out and he will not end players' careers. We have a guy called Kylie Lolosh who came on a few games ago and then he got hooked after 10 minutes because apparently he wasn't doing what Johnston had expected of him. And at the time we thought, well, that's the last time we'll ever see him. He actually came on today. So maybe there's a way back for him. But I think I'll talk about this. You know, I live in the States, so I talk football with a lot of the people I see and they don't understand anything that's not the Premier League. But one thing is that I can tell them is that in the Premier League, if your team's already relegated or you have nothing to play for, that's it. Your season's done. You're on the beach because you're making 40, 50 grand a week. Doesn't matter. Players at this level, even if their season is done, they want a contract. They want to keep having a career. So you don't see as many capitulations as you may expect, even from like Kingsland are relegated, right? But they won a goal up against Notts County last week because they got beat. And they, I would assume, gave you a game today. They're not going down without fighting. So I keep hoping that Notts County walk into a Dover side who are no good A Dover side that beat that scored five against Wrexham, by the way, which is still baffling to me.
So you're kind of looking at less. I think we've got what Eastleigh, Barnet, and Maidenhead to come. So you're really kind of reliant on Chesterfield to continue their poor run of form.
Yeah, and we play Chesterfield, so
yeah,
I think it's all we can do is just beat the team two in front of us.
Yeah.
If we beat you guys on Saturday, then suddenly, you know, it's like it's a bit bipolar being a Torquay fan. Like, oh, we suck. Oh, we're great. Oh, we suck. Oh, we're great. But that's the way it has to be.
That sounds familiar.
What will happen is we'll probably beat Grimsby. Our game in hand is against Stockport, so, you know, and it's away. But we'll probably get a result there. We may even beat Chesterfield. I think that's on television. But then we'll go to Southend needing a point and get beat.
I think you'll know definitively next Saturday's fixtures. Stockport have got Yeovil. Halifax Southend's reasonably tasty. But then Notts County are at home to Weymouth. Chesterfield are at home to Dover. Dagenham are at home to King's Lynn. And then it's Grimsby Torquay. Most of the big sides have got games that they should win next week. And like you say, if you don't beat us, then you could be double figures behind where you need to be. And then with four games to go, it's gone.
Yeah, I think so. And I know Jonathan had said at the beginning of March, or, you know, he said he wanted to be 10 points away, single digits away with a dozen games to go. And we were, but that gap hasn't really come down. And we've been winning. I mean, we had won four prior to today. They were against Aldershot and Weymouth and Notts County, which, again, I'm going to mention that we beat them 5-1. It was hilarious. So all we can do is do our best. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, and see what happens game to game. When you guys came down with Southend, I was like, I had a good day at Southend 17 years ago. We got promoted to League One at Southend, and I'm actually coming over again. So I'll be there the last day of the season. I would like Grimsby to do well, because it's always nice to see teams that, if you follow Torquay for a long time, Grimsby are a team you'd have seen fairly regularly. And it would be nice to see them get back up, if only to see them melt down in Wrexham and Notts County and Chesterfield. I know you guys started really well when you played at Playmore. You were miles better than us. And that was early. I think it was our fourth or fifth game when we were in that.
Yeah, we took the opportunity.
Yeah. And 3-1 did not flatter you. It could have been 5. Armani Little scored in that game. I think he was the guy who scored the goal in that game. But what are you going to do? I mean, we're not going to miss the playoffs because of a draw against Eastleigh. We're going to miss the playoffs because draws against Barnet and Wealdstone and losing at home to Altrincham and Woking. Like I said before, our form against the bigger sides has been pretty good. Same thing last season. We'd have won the league if we didn't have two draws against Barnet and then Eastleigh again, right, and the running.
Is this when we tell Chris that our talismanic striker is probably going to be out with a dislocated shoulder?
No, Bruce said he'll be fine.
Bruce said he'll be fine. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, don't worry that he was grasping his arm.
Don't tease me like that. Well, we actually had, we have a guy called Lapsley who we signed from Colchester, Tom Lapsley, and he's a tiny little terrier. He looks like an RAF pilot from the 40s. He's great. He's got like the slicked hair. He tucks his shirt in. He's got black boots. He's just the kind of player that you hate to see as an opposition fan. He'll be very niggly, but he didn't play today or Friday. I would assume he's going to play Saturday. Dean Moxie came off injured today, and he's been fantastic. He was Premier League player, was at Palace. He used to play for Exeter, started his career there. And he moved into the middle. When we were playing 4-4-2, it wasn't working very well. So we binned off one of our centre-halves, brought him into the middle in a back three, and that seemed to have worked. But he's injured. So if he's out, that means we have Ali Omar, who is the most enthusiastic footballer you will ever see. If you see a highlight of Torquay's goals, the chances are the first guy who gets to the scorer will be Ali Omar. And he's not been playing. He comes, you know, against Notts County. He ran onto the field when Evans got his hat-trick goal. And you just want to see a guy like that do well. Unfortunately, he suffered early on, possibly from the Hulstead Association. You know, the goalkeeper instills no confidence in the defence. And Omar got sent off at Notts County. I was at that game. It was very marginal. And you want him to do well. I expect he'll start on Saturday if Moxie is still injured. We've had no striking cover all year. We had Danny Wright, who is about 90, and he's been great.
Oh, he's a cunt.
Shit
house. Oh, he really is. No, I don't disagree.
And he stamped on the back of our goalkeeper. So I am very much looking forward to some sort of retribution. Challoner got it this week. So hopefully Danny Wright will get some as well. I don't know if anybody else remembers that.
I hate Danny Wright, honestly. Him and Van Veen up front tonight, man.
People saying you hate your players.
But him and Van Veen, my God, could you imagine? Yeah, my God. Christ.
And he's, you know, like I said, he's, I think he's 37 now, so he's getting older.
Oh, good, so I can beat him in a race.
Again, if he had been fit for most of last season, we'd have won the league going away. We were 12 points clear at Christmas, and then he and five other players got injured. And that kind of did for us in January and February before we came back towards the end of the season. So he'll be there. We don't really have another striker to play with him. So you'll see Connor Lemon-Hay-Evans probably playing, you know, the false nine or whatever you want to call it, right behind Wright. We had two wingers, one on loan from Sunderland, one from QPR. The Sunderland one's been injured the last 2 weeks, so you probably won't see him. But the other guy from QPR is called Duke McKenna, and he is way too good for Torquay United. I hope he'll stay, but I would not be surprised if QPR try and find a League One loan for him next season. And that's, I guess, what the loan system is for, but it's always upsetting to see players disappear.
Never fall in love with a loan player. That's the golden rule.
You'll remember. Wasn't Danny Wright the one that was giving it out on Twitter when we got relegated? He was, wasn't he?
What?
When we got relegated, Danny Wright was on Twitter, wasn't he?
Yeah, Danny Wright and Harry Pell.
Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned, but I hate Danny Wright.
What's the... what's your prediction for the weekend then?
1-1. I don't see us not conceding.
Okay. I mean, that's useful. I mean, Manny Desaruve will be delighted to hear that if he's leading the line after today. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us the lowdown. Look forward to it. Good luck for the rest of the season, obviously after Saturday. And we shall see you then.
Yeah, and once you guys get to the playoffs, which I think you'll do, I will be looking out for you more than any other team.
We look forward to losing to Scully Hall.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it, in terms of what's coming up? And I mean, if we're going to get a score, I mean, we've got to try and be positive because we've already been accused of being negative about today's performance.
But it's a change for us, isn't it?
It's after Weymouth and after I saw the opportunities we had there to convert, and then exactly the same yet today. It sounded like it was just consistently just one-on-one, Bruce, and sort of opportunities. I mean, if we'd have won 2-0 and Manny would have put one away, I don't think there'd have been any worries, would they?
I thought his hold-up play was very good. We've got a few players who were very good with the back to the ball, back to the goal. Laying it off to others, but the problem is they play quite far up the pitch, and we need them to be sticking the ball in the back of the net regularly.
We need Wes Thomas back, don't we?
If Matt, in all seriousness, and I'm saying it how I see it. If we haven't got McAtee for a sustained period of time, I would be really concerned with where the goals were coming from going into the playoffs.
If we haven't got McAtee for a long period of time, then we're going to really need to try and get people in and around Taylor more than we do.
Yeah, and I mean, Stockwood was really good on Humberside. If you haven't listened to it yet, go to their Facebook page, listen to it before the game against Stockport. He was really good, as always, I'll be honest. I mean, it's hard not to love the bloke. And in terms of what he was talking about, this is a season about sort of building it. And my key aim for this season was to make the playoffs. It looks like we'll do that. I think they've learned some lessons. I think additions like Hunt and Towler were great. But when you're looking at them only being here for 6 months, you leave yourself open like we did to having to create another team. And in that transition period where we were dog shit, it could have unraveled pretty quickly. If the board didn't have patience and we were sort of on the edge of going, maybe it's time Hurst was gone. We could have found ourselves in another transition period and again for next season. Holohan is exactly the sort of player we want. And I would imagine, and in my opinion, I think Taylor's amazing, but he doesn't score enough goals for us to go up. When you think of the season we went up from this season, we had Podge, we had Bogle. McAtee hasn't scored enough this season. Granted, he's been injured for quite a bit of it and got suspended for 3 games and will be injured again now. We just don't have that 20-goal-a-season striker at the moment. And Taylor's the guy that I want as the guy coming on, and I want a striker above that. And I know that's really hard to find, but I think that's what we need to find.
It was really interesting today, just change the subject slightly, to see McAtee. Very interesting to see Max Wright start from the beginning. He tired after about 55 minutes and was cramping up and didn't get massively in the game. He put a couple of really nice crosses in and his pace troubled them at times. But yeah, just really good to see him back out on the pitch.
It's nice too. And Maguire Drew's great on there. Max Wright's brilliant. I think we're getting those support casts there. We need to find that guy. It'd have been nice if Manny had got two today, was sort of now 7 foot tall and going into Storkey brimming with confidence. He won't be doing that now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But we've got some very winnable games coming up. I don't think our playoff threat, even without McAtee, is under threat. I don't think we'll go very far. If we play Solihull or Wrexham, I think we're done.
Is this going to be like Beckham's metatarsal now?
Yeah. I'm going to print off a picture of his shoulder. We've all got to pray to it. I'll get Yuri Geller on the phone.
We'll have a little graph on the pod as it sort of moves along each week towards his fitness, and then we'll just have an image of McAtee sort of jumping up and down like a little games character, just like that.
And he'll come on half fit at Wembley, and it would just not be useful.
Let's not forget, though, we did make a lot of changes today and get a lot of squad players in and around it and still won. We've been able to rest some players. Honestly, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I think we'll be in the playoffs, and I still think that now. Honestly, looking at the playoffs, the only team that you sort of raise your eyebrows at a little bit is Wrexham. Anybody else, I think we can beat, and I think we will beat. So
I wouldn't want to go to Wrexham because they'll have 10,000 fans there. I would play them in the final, but I wouldn't want to go to Wrexham in the semis.
No, I understand that, Bruce. Yeah, I would like to me, I would like to take Chesterfield, and I would like Halifax. I think that is eminently winnable.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Ollie Hodson has come up with a great one. Slings at Barnet. That is wonderful. I really like that. I mean, was there anything else, Bruce, from today that we should really make a comment with before we go?
No. Like I say, like Mike says, I suppose you've got to take into account we made a lot of changes. If we'd have not won the game, Hurst would have come in for probably fair criticism. Because it's a game we should have won, and we did win it. But from what I could see, which was, like I say, the top half of the net and the top half of the players' heads, the ball seemed to come in quite a lot of good positions, certainly in the second half, and we weren't clinical enough. And if they're the players that you've got coming on to replace the ones that didn't play today at the start or from the start, then, like I say, we need to be more clinical. And we've been saying that all season. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got what? Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at least we were creating things. You know, I've been to some games this season and we've not created much. So at least those chances are there. If we keep making the chances, they're going to score them. So.
Yeah, and if not, we've still got the likes of Holohan to just fire it in from 35 yards out, which he nearly did against Stockport as well.
Easy.
Yeah, it's on. I mean, we've got Torquay to come. Barnet, Maidenhead, Borehamwood and Eastleigh. Borehamwood is the one team you do want to be playing in the top half of the table because they are dead. It's good. Before we go, special mention to Scunthorpe United, who will be relegated to the National League. Please do. Yep, love it. Absolutely. Please do feel free to check out our thread on them and all their fans that didn't see what was coming. And then also, I suppose today is a good way as well for shithousery, Bruce. Little old Bromley will probably not make the playoffs, and poor old Andy Woodman will probably be devouring an all-you-can-eat buffet to try and fill that hole in his soul because of it. So that's a shame for them. Last couple of comments. John Lewis says, ignoring the miss, didn't they have 23 one-on-one saved and 17 cleared off the line? Should the credit be on King's Lynn rather than criticism to our players? Very good point, John.
No.
Holly Hodgson says, no. Ollie says, on the flip side, we've got good force to bring on if we're winning to hold it up, though. John Lewis says, boo-hoo to Bromley. Absolutely. Yeah, gentlemen, I loved it. Any last comments and we'll wrap up?
Shit weekend for shithouses, isn't it?
Shit weekend for shithouses.
6 points from six.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a brilliant Easter weekend. And we'll leave you now and get ready for work. Got to get back to it.
Scunthorpe United have lost 4-0 at home to Exeter City this afternoon.
Love it.